new Top This, starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Laurie Jr.
Hello.
And this is your host, Roger Powell. And now, here is your master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed Wheeze Whirlpool. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air.
Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
Oh, on with the laughter. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Ready.
Say, the first joke this evening comes from Edna Mae Willman of Evansville, Indiana, and it's on the subject of ghosts.
What is that?
Ghosts. G-H-O-S-T-S.
Ghosts.
So, Peter, will you scare this joke up for us a little bit?
I was going to say we got one down in the house that hasn't any nose, but that's a goat gag.
This may smell just as bad. This is about a ghost named Hans Stromberg Jr., a very, very nice fella. And he's sitting one night having a few spirits in the little corner spookeasy they used to go to. All the ghosts go there to get ectoplastered. And this ghost, he was about three sheets in the wind, too. And all of a sudden, the door didn't open and his friend walked in. So he said, Junior said, hello, Sam. Grand not to see you again. Says, pull up a slab and sit down, boy. Says, tell me, how is the seance racket these days? And the other ghost said, medium. So he said, you're not looking well, my boy. You're as pale as a human being. What's wrong? He says, well, I've been working the graveyard shift. And it was pretty swell during the summer, but now it's so cold and rainy. You know, I can't stand a leaky mausoleum. You know my motto, my beer is the dry beer. So I started doing indoor work for the winter, and the first night I began with indoor work, I ran into awful trouble. You see this terrible lump on my head?
Yes, I do. I see the lump on your head. What happened?
Well, he says, I floated over to do a sustaining at Dunninger's house. And he says, I was just going to enter through the keyhole when some dope stuck the key in the door.
$1,000 on the laugh meter award.
So you gentlemen are just out for the ride now. Miss Wilman gets $25 automatically, and Harry Hirschfield had his hand up.
Well, ghost stories, I know a few. I want to throw one as a preface. A moron calls up a guy for gooey, and he says, calls up a doctor, said, doctor, if you're a psychiatrist, I've got to ask you a question. Maybe I should go to you, I don't know. Do you think I'm mentally deranged? Because I get delusions. I think when I'm in the dark, I always think I see ghosts. Do you think there's something wrong with me mentally? Doctor says, well, it sounds like it. I think you better come over here for a visit. He said, how much do you charge for a visit? He said, $50 a visit. He said, I'm not that crazy. But, you know, the Irish love to tell banshee stories. And Finnegan and Clancy are talking about ghost stories and everything. And Finnegan says, you know, there's one wraith, one little banshee, a ghost. She was a miserish for the last 100 years. For the last 100 years, she's been visiting Earth, very restless, going, every place. She was an awful miser, see? She was an awful miser. All her life, she saved money and awful miser. And now, for the last 100 years, she goes around hunting in every second-hand place for a certain dress. She goes in every theater and every costume place. Every place she can go, she hunts for a certain dress. It seems that she died suddenly, this old miser, and you know that she left, sewed in her bustle, $100,000. And Finnegan said, that's an awful lot of money to leave behind.
The laugh meter registers $1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Which ties Miss Wilman's $1,000, and I think Joe Laurie was second.
Yeah, I know this reminds me about the goof. This doesn't count. Two kids talking, he says, you know what, you found out what ghosts eat? He says, what do ghosts eat? He says, ghost toasties. I like those kinds. Mrs. Epstein was telling her husband, she says, last night I was dreaming about a ghost.
Such a terrible dream. He says, ghost. He says, I don't believe in ghosts. He says, you don't believe in nothing. He says, yes, I do. I believe in reincarnation. He says, what do you mean reincarnation? I believe when a people die, that they come back to this world like an animal. Like a little poopy dog, like something like that. He says, and that's got me worried. I'm afraid, he says, that I should come back on this earth like a jackass. She says, don't worry. The same thing will never happen twice.
Joe, the same thing happened three times because...
1,000 on the laugh meter.
And, Senator Ford, you can make this a perfect round, possibly.
Well, I... I only spoke when spoken to. When we were kids, we had a little four-line verse that we used to do that might fit in here, if I can remember it. I saw a man upon a stair. I saw a man who wasn't there. I saw him there again today. I wish the man would go away. Well, in my book, My Hometown, is a gag that might fit in here, too. Ditsy Baumwartle and Dopey Dildock were talking, and Ditsy said, I don't believe in ghosts. I never seen one. Dopey says, yes, you did. You seen me. Ditsy says, you ain't a ghost. And Dopey says, well, I must be. Yesterday I went to the fortune teller, and she told me I wouldn't live after I was 30 years old, and I'm 35, and I've been dead 5 years, and I didn't even know it.
$900 is the final score in the Laugh Meter Award.
Well, I'll tell you, Ward, last week I hit 4 1,000s, and I don't like to be in a rut.
Well, you're definitely out of it now, Senator.
Another round of jokes will be coming up right after these important words from our fine sponsor.
Continue our contest of wit and humor. The next joke was sent in by Arnold J. Roper of Toronto, Canada. The subject of this joke is servants, gentlemen. Servants. So, Peter Donald, will you give this one a welcome spot in your home?
Yeah. I was just thinking about Joe saying that the ghost eating ghost toasties. He's all wrong. I know what they eat, shrouded wheat.
Hey, Pete, you want to come over and sit at the table?
No, this is about a very rich lady, Mrs. Van Up Creek, and she was a collector of antiques. Oh, she went all over the world to find these antiques. Very valuable stuff. She owned the original piece of lemon from the Boston Tea Party. And she had the sales slip from the Louisiana Purchase. Just last week, she dug up somewhere the first General Motors automobile from the Pickett's Charge down there. Oh, she got everything in the world, all kinds of wonderful antique pieces. Well, this particular day, she was giving a tea party, and she was serving on this antique tablecloth with the antique table and the antique chairs and all her antique friends sitting on them. And she just started the party, and all of a sudden, out in the kitchen, she heard a crash. And with that, the maid, Sadie, stuck her head in the door.
And she says, madam, could I see you for a moment, please? It's very, very urgent. Very, very important already. I got to talk to you.
So Mrs. Van Up Creek excused herself, and she went out. She said, yes, Sadie, my dear girl, what is it you want?
She says, well, madam, you know that very, very swanky, that very, very old antique blue cream jug?
She said, yes, my antique cream jug, my goodness. Don't tell me something happened to it.
Oh, she says, no, no, don't worry. The jug is perfectly all right. But I just wanted to tell you, I dropped the rest of the set.
Just halfway up on the laugh meter, Ward. 500 this time.
And let's see who wants to get in here with the servant problem. Joe Laurie had his hand up first, I think.
I think I made a mistake.
We'll soon tell.
This is a preface. This doesn't count. The kid says to his mother, he says, hey, Mom, is our new servant girl a German? She says, no, why? What makes you ask that? He says, I heard Papa say to her, give me a kiss, hon. I like those kinds. The one I want to tell is about Lord Plushbottom is being visited by a friend. He says, I say, Lord, he says, what happened to your manservant? I don't see him around. He says, oh, he was too American. I had to let him go. He was too American. He says, what do you mean, too American? He says, well, I tell you, I didn't mind when he shook hands with the guests as they came in. I didn't mind him serving the dinner without his coat on. But what he did this morning, I just had to let him go. He says, what did he do? He says, he came up to my bedchamber, pulled the covers off me, and says, come on, Joyke, it's time to get up.
The laugh meter registers 600 for that joke.
Joe, you topped Mr. Roper's 500, but he automatically retains his $10, and I think Senator Ford had his hand raised second.
Well, Helga Svengod was a witness in a murder case, and the district attorney, the prosecuting attorney, said to her, "Now, tell us how the stairs ran in the living room." She said, "Well, when I been downstairs, they run open. When I been upstairs, they run down." Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sam Bunbottom had one of those knock-down, drag-out arguments, you know. And she said, "You know, you're the worst husband in the world. If anybody came here, they'd think I was the cook." He said, "They wouldn't if they stayed for dinner."
$650 is what the laugh meter registered, Ward.
Which tops Mr. Roper's $500, so he still maintains his pace at $10. And, Harry Hirschfield, are you going
to
be in this
Give me a chance to think of a couple. They're coming in pairs tonight. Hope I don't forget the second one thinking of the first. But a fellow walked into a restaurant, one of those cheap-looking joints, and he's looking at the menu, and he looks up the menu, and he recognizes Popnikov, the waiter, his friend. He says, "Popnikov, what are you doing working in such a lousy, cheap joint like this?" And Popnikov says, "I don't eat here. What's your excuse?" But I got another one about a radio comedian who decided to do something honest for a living, decided to really go to work. So he got a job on an estate, you know, one of those handymen. And Mr. Van Eppes, who ran the estate, you know, gave him that business. He said, "Now, I love punctuality, and I don't want any corny jokes. Just do your work. I know you're a ham actor." Now, he says, "The main thing is to always meet me at the depot with the station wagon. You must meet me now tomorrow at 2 o'clock sharp." 2 o'clock came around, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, finally showed up. And Van Eppes was sore. And he said, "Why are you so late?" "Well," he said, "I had trouble with the traffic lights. That held me up, the traffic lights. They didn't change." "So what do you mean they didn't change? Was it red?" He said, "No." "Was it green?" He said, "No. It was forever amber."
The laugh meter registered 800 for that one, Ward.
I just want to say Harry's wrong. I never worked on an estate.
You think he was getting personal with that joke?
And he never was forever amber either.
Well, the next joke, gentlemen, comes from Mrs. Mary E. Meehan of Baltimore, Maryland. And the subject of this round is, I don't know whether you're familiar with this or not, gifts. Gifts.
We will be, I hope, Christmas.
Well, we're supposed to have gift of gab.
Well, Peter has a reputation for having a gift of gab, and we'll try it out right now.
Now, this is about Mike Muldoon, little fella Mike Muldoon. And he had an old automobile. Oh, it was a terrible thing, a percolate. It was an awful thing. It was 100 years old, and it was a wreck. You blew the horn, the taillight fell off. It was no good at all. The engine was an extra when he bought it. Everything was awful. So finally he decided he ought to get rid of this thing, and he wanted to sell it. And he advertised in every paper in town for weeks and weeks and weeks, and everyone who took a look at this thing, they wouldn't buy it. So one day he was walking along the street, and he met his little friend Patty O'Shaughnessy.
And Patty says, "Oh, hello there, Mike." He says, "How are you?" He said, "Tell me now," he said, "did you ever get rid of that old automobile you used to have? Did you ever get rid of it?"
He said, "No, he did not. It's impossible, no, that's all. It's impossible. No one will ever take it off me hand. I'm stuck with it."
He said, "What are you talking about, you're stuck with it? What are you talking about?" He says, "It's only because you have no business instinct. Now you're talking to a super salesman now. You give me that car, and I'll get rid of it in 2 cents of a shillelagh. You give it to me."
Well, he said, "I'd be glad to give it to you, me lad." He says, "But I don't believe that any man in this world can get rid of it." So little Patty took the car, and he had it several weeks, and they met again. And Patty ran up to him. He says, "Michael, me boy, oh." He says, "I done it. I thought you would." He says, "I got rid of the automobile for you." He said, "Why, that's impossible." He says, "What did you do?"
"Well," he says, I left it out in front of me house, right out in the driveway in front of me house, in the hopes that maybe somebody would come along, you understand, and steal it away from me."
He said, "Well, did they?"
He said, no, he left it there for 1 day and 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 20 days, 30 days. And he says, "Nobody stole it."
Well, he says, "What do you mean you got rid of it?"
Well, he says, "I did get rid of it. I moved away."
$900 is the final score in the laugh meter award.
So let's see what Senator Ford has to say on it.
Three booby soxes were talking, and one of them said, "Oh, my big moment is Jimmy Smith. He sends me flowers." The second one said, "Mine is Johnny Jones. He sends me candy." The third one said, "Mine is Frank Sinatra. He sends me."
Peter says $5.50 on that one, Ward.
Which doesn't top Mrs. Meehan's $900, so she now has $15, and Harry Hirschfield had his hand up. Second.
I have a kind of a favorite story, and it's the one about a present of a parrot was given to Mr. Ginsburg. He said, "There is the greatest repeater Mr. Ginsburg you ever saw. It better not dictaphone, and you got an idea, y'all. You make big essays and you make big talks. That parrot will repeat everything better than a dictaphone, and you can always have it in that parrot." So he takes the gift, and he makes a long speech to the parrot at home, Ginsburg does. Parrot repeats it, but the next day he brings back the parrot, says, "Take back your present. I don't like this parrot. I don't like his attitude." "But what do you mean about the attitude? Don't he repeat good?" "He said he repeats very good. Very fine, he repeats. I make a speech to him, he repeats every word exactly. But when he finishes, he always says, 'The opinions just expressed by Mr. Ginsburg are entirely his own.'"
$1,000 on the Laugh Meter Award.
And that tops Mrs. Meehan's $900. She still holds her $15, though, and Joe Laurie has a chance.
Harry reminded me of one. This is a preface. This doesn't count about... Mr. Epstein says to Montgomery, he says, "Montgomery, I've got you a gift." He says, "Yeah, Papa, what is it?" He says, "Guess." He says, "Give me a lead." He says, "It starts with an R." He says, "With an R? Radio?" He says, "No, not a radio." He says, "A record?" He says, "Not a record." He says, "A revolver?" He says, not a revolver. "It starts with an R." "Well, I give up. What is it?" He says, "A red bicycle." The one I want to tell is, a mother sends her boy a letter. He's out in the Pacific in the Army. Been out there a long time. She says, "My dear boy," she says, "I know your weakness. Your birthday is next week." And she said, "I'm going to send you a box of Fanny Farmer's candy." And 3 days later, she gets a cable back. She says, "Never mind the candy. Send Fanny Farmer."
$700 is the score in the Laugh Meter this time, Ward.
A fellow went into a jewelry store. And he said, "I want to see a ring." So the salesman said, "Would you like to see a... three-piece combination?" He said, "Yes, a nice three-piece combination would be fine. Engagement, wedding, and teething."
That was for free, I take it, Senator.
More fun, more jokes, coming up in a minute after this word from our sponsor.
And now here's a joke sent in by Miss Teresa Bowles of Dorchester, Massachusetts, gentlemen, and it's on the subject of favor. Favor. I don't know whether that's political favor or not. Peter, will you favor us with a rendition of the joke?
Well, this is about Abercrombie Fafufnik, and he had a... Mr. Fafufnik had a terrible day in the office. Everything went wrong. Everything got all messed up. He got water on the knee, and his secretary nearly drowned, and all.
That's great.
The whole thing was terrible, and he staggered home, and he ate a supper that his wife cooked, and the supper was burned because they had a fire in the delicatessen that day. And finally, 9 o'clock at night, he fell into bed. He was so tired. Well, he just barely got off to sleep when his wife, from the other bed, said, "Ooh,
ooh, Abercrombie. Abercrombie, darling. Abercrombie.
Eight."
He woke up and said, she's, "What is it, Daphne?"
She said, "Darling," she said, "I've got an awful lot of trouble. I can't remember when I locked up for the night whether I put out the little pussycat, Turalura. I don't know." So she says, you will please do me a favor. Do me a favor and go downstairs and see if the kitty cat is in or out."
"I said, all right, I'll go downstairs." He's got to be kitty cats yet. He says the old saying, one man's Manx is another man's poison. I'll go down here.
So he's just starting for the stairs, and he slips on the top step, and he skids down, bang, bang, all the way. And she heard the noise, and she came running out. She says, oh, hey, Dolly, she says, what happened? Did you miss a step?
He says, did I miss a step? No, don't worry, I hit every single one of them.
$1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
Automatically gives Miss Bowles $25. You boys are out for the ride, and Joe Laurie had his hand up first.
Well, there are all kinds of favors. This is about a party favor. A fella was talking to his girl, and she says, well, I'm giving the party. She says, tonight, oh, and it's going to be grand. It's going to be wonderful. She says, all the girls are coming and all the boys, and we're going to have something to eat. And then after we get something to eat, we'll go in the parlor. I'm giving all the girls favors. And then I'm turning out all the lights. He says, you're going to give all the girls favors? And you're going to turn out the lights? Are you going to give the boys any favors? She says, what do you call turning out the lights?
$1,000 on the lap meter.
High as Miss Bowles, but doesn't top her. And, Senator, I think you were second.
A waitress said to a customer, will you have your pie now? And he said, is it customary? And she said, no, it's lemon.
It almost made it. But only 950 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
Top
is
both 1,000, and Harry
Hirsch,
you'll have
yeah,
that, you.
Professor Nyech. It was an essayist who wrote a thing, and so he wrote this essay, and he was so proud of it, and he wanted it published. So he ran to his publisher's home to get this published, and they said they're sorry that the publisher was in the hospital. He was very, very sick. So Professor Nyech pays no attention to the nurses, runs into the bedside, and he said, I want you to publish my essay. I want to read it to you. The doctor says I'll be dead in an hour. He said, this is all right. It only takes 40 minutes.
That one made the top. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
Well, I'm sorry, gentlemen. I thought we might have time for a little clown table discussion this evening, but I see that time is a-wasting, so we'll just remind the audience that we'd like to have them join Can You Top This again next week. Same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long, and take care of yourself until we meet again next time.